This is Jerry Webb with Best Sermon Ever. Welcome to today's episode of Best Sermon Ever. I want to talk today about how you get started and engage the audience right away. And I want to do that in a very particular way. It's through the use and the power of testimony. Now, I understand that a testimony may not really be you, your sermon, but it is what leads into the sermon that will make your sermon more effective, better. Testimonies are powerful. They give us insight into the life of a person. They show us how Jesus comes into our life and makes a change and helps us to grow. It gives hope to people. It inspires people. So the testimony I want to share with you today is one that I had on an old audio recording that I downloaded through the podcast of Wayne Cordero. The date of it was about 2004. I went back online to see if it was still there. I couldn't find it anywhere. It just happened to be hanging around into my old files. But Wayne is pastor of what at that time was called New Hope Christian Fellowship. They may have changed the name since then. I think it's New Hope Oahu now in Honolulu, Hawaii. Tough duty pastoring in Honolulu. I don't know if I could handle that. You know, it's just really be hard. But Wayne's a great communicator. You're not really going to hear Wayne today except for just maybe 30 seconds of how he transitions away from the testimony into the beginning of his sermon. The testimony is a gentleman who's apparently part of the staff. I never really got his name. The other interesting thing is the creativity with which the testimony is shared. It's interlaced back and forth between a female soloist and this gentleman sharing his testimony. It's going to inspire you. I would encourage you to take it in, not just as a learning experience of how you might do a creative way of introducing your sermon, but also for your own spirit, for your own soul. I think it will bring you hope. Let's listen to it today.
I got involved, and then we started leading short-term mission trips to India and stuff, and we felt like that was going to be more of our focus. And then it was during that time that Wayne asked me to pray about coming and working with NHI. Well, I started January 2001, and I knew I wanted to plant churches, to help plant churches all over the world. And so we help people get churches going and help them plant churches among unreached people. And I knew that was my legacy. Mid-December, I started feeling bad. I started feeling really tired and just kind of sick. In February then, I went to the doctor, and I had a lump on my neck, inside my neck, and they finally did a biopsy on it, and the doctor called and said, well, I have bad news for you. He said, you have melanoma. And I thought, okay, fine, you know, we'll just take it out and no big deal. And then the doctor said, well, actually, Mr. Darrow, you have 6 months to live.
As I rest against this cold, hard wall, will you pass me by? Will you criticize me as I sit and cry? I had fought so hard and thought that all my battles had been won, only to find the war has just begun. Is he not strong enough? Is he not pure enough to break me, pour me out, and start again? Is he not brave enough to take one chance on me? Oh, please
I was sick beyond what I ever imagined I could ever feel like. Some days when I was sick, and I didn't feel the presence of God at all. I felt alone. I'd look out the window and I'd just think, God, am I ever going to get out to Asia planting churches? That seemed like a dream that was a millions of miles away. And I knew I was clinging to life. I mean, literally, by my fingernails, I knew I was just clinging to life.
Will my weakness for an hour make me suffer for a lifetime? Is there any way to be made whole again? If I'm healed, renewed, and find forgiveness by the strength I've never had, will my scars forever ruin all God's?
I feel like I've tasted a little bit of the blazing furnace. And so Daniel said, but I know the God we serve is able to save us from it. And that's my life. That's God save me from that furnace of affliction. I learned that really the only thing important in this life is serving God, is being a part of the kingdom of God. I'm still going to Asia. I'm still going to help train church planters and leaders out there. And that's just the truth. Even if my body says something different, that's the truth. That's what I know God's called me to do. And so I could stand on that more than I could stand on doctor's reports or anything.
He took my life into his hands and turned it all around. In my most desperate circumstance, it's there I finally found that you are.
Told me I had only 6 months to live,
I spent a year going through 10 rounds of chemo. I went through 2 surgeries and months of hospitalization. But that was 3 years ago. I'm here to say that the doctors were wrong. It's not so much that they were wrong, but it's the fact that God is a miracle-working God. One of the promises I hung on to during the storm was that God has called me to help train leaders and church planters in Asia. Well, next month, for about 6 weeks, I'm going to India to help train church planters. And that is the fulfillment of God's plan for me. All that God is doing here at New Hope will be multiplied to reach totally unreached people thousands of miles away. And one of the things I'm particularly excited about is I've been asked to do a seminar for those that are helping to reach Muslims for Jesus all over India. I have the privilege of helping to train them a little bit in some of the awesome things that God has been doing here. And to think that God is going to use me, someone who the doctors gave up for dead. Do you think I'm excited to go? Do you think my faith has been strengthened? Do you think that our God can do the impossible? Well, you bet he can. Thank you very much.
Wow. Someone who stood on the promises of God, even when it seemed like adversity was going to take over and he would fall victim to it, he chose to stand fast on the promises of God until he gained what God had given him as an inheritance, which is his calling. And when he arrives there, he arrives looking a whole lot more like Jesus.
Well, I get inspired every time I hear that. I encourage you to consider using testimonies as a part of your sermon. Whether it's before, during, or after, find a way to get them in there. They require some effort, some intentionality. You've got to work far enough ahead to make it work. Maybe you'll want to videotape the testimony so that you're sure that it gets articulated well by the person who's doing it. Maybe they're not used to speaking in front of people. You could take some of their nervousness away. You might not want to try to interject the music in with it like they did at New Hope. That's a whole nother level of the challenge of trying to make it happen. You may not have the musicianship available to really do that well. Although I would note with my musician's ear that I would have coached her on those sections where she powered up a little, that she was a little pitchy. But, you know, we quibble with that. We can let that go. It was just a fantastic, wonderful experience. Use testimonies. They'll make your sermons better. They'll help connect more with people. And the story of the testimony will give power to your preaching. Until we meet next time, here's for preaching the best sermon yet. It's in there. Work at it. Be intentional about improving at the craft of preaching, and you're going to preach your best sermon ever really soon. And then you'll do it again after that, and after that, and after that. Have a great week.